Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, we continue our exploration of happiness.
Our guest today is Dr. Sophie Janicki, who is an assistant professor in the School of Communication at Chapman University. She is described as a positive media psychologist who investigates the role that new and traditional media play in promoting and affecting character development, self-transcendent emotions, pro-social behavior, and well-being, aka happiness. Welcome to the program, Sophie.
Thank you. So thanks for having me.
What is positive media psychology?
Positive media psychology is the integration of positive psychology with media psychology. So we basically ask the question of how media can have positive effects on the viewer. That's kind of the overarching question.
What's a positive effect?
So particularly we are looking at well-being effects. And so these are things like life satisfaction, pro-social behavior, connectedness to other people, so how media portrayals may impact social relationships. Also, generally looking at positive emotions or self-transcendent emotions as this particular group of emotions that makes us oriented toward other people, which then again has beneficial effects for our well-being levels. And so these are just a couple of things that we look at.
You have a business and website called Rewiring Happiness that focuses on, and I'll quote here, combining ancient wisdom, science, and technology to build a meaningful and happy life. How do these three areas meld together to help people achieve happiness?
For me, I want to really understand how we become happy in this really digital life that we live in. And so whereas positive psychology generally just tries to look at the interactions with other people that we have and how that affects us in a positive way, we now know that we actually spent most of our time with media. And so I think it's very relevant to ask the question of what role then those media interactions play for our well-being. And when we think about well-being or happiness, actually, the scientific literature is not the oldest literature out there that can tell us about what actually happiness is and means. And so when I think about happiness and well-being, I also go back to ancient texts of philosophers and of religious texts to understand, well, what does it mean to be happy and to live a fulfilled life? And so a lot of also positive psychologists kind of rely on philosophical texts. They talk about philosophers in ancient times, but I also would include spiritual texts because that's ultimately what a lot of them talk about, which is how to become really a happy and fulfilled person, not only in this lifetime, but potentially also in other non-material spheres. And so for me, that's kind of the breadth of how we can answer the question of how to live a happy life in this digital age.
As you say, then, the ancient wisdom is the sort of more or less philosophical piece. The technology, I guess, is how we're using it now. What's the science piece?
Wherever I can find things that are related and help me answer those questions. So neuroscience, absolutely, specifically when we think about mindfulness, for example. Again, mindfulness also has its roots in Buddhism, but also, of course, has been practiced in secular places. And so there's neuroscience research that looks at the effects of that practice on the brain. There is even neuroscience that looks at the effects of religious attendance or practices on the brain. So this is one area. And then, of course, there is the whole psychological science of how we think, how we feel, how we behave that impacts that. And then also, again, communication science, the interaction with other people verbally, non-verbally, via text messages, via emoticons, via virtual worlds, whatever it may be, can also have an impact on our state of well-being. So these are the three main sciences that I look into.
Much popular media focus on the ways in which technology actually estranges from others and decreases social interaction, creating a greater degree of isolation than we've previously seen in society. What can people do to move toward a healthier relationship with technology?
I think the answer is twofold. Number one is related to how we look at our devices and how we interact with our devices. A lot of times people say, well, the phone is not different than the TV, and you know, we can decide very easily if we just want to access it or not, if we want to watch it or not. But it's actually not that easy. So learning about how our phones actually are little slot machines in our hands that make us addicted in a way that we don't even know it is the first step to then approach our use of technology in a much more aware and mindful way. And if I'm a little bit more mindful and aware of how maybe this technology actually controls me rather than me controlling my phone, then I can make more conscious choices. And now we go to number two, of what content I also like to consume. We know from the media psychological research that, for example, exposure to aggressive and violent content, yes, has a negative effect on us if we do that constantly, in terms of we think more aggressive thoughts, we are much more impulsive in our interactions. But so does the opposite happen when I expose myself to positive news or positive media. So things that make me feel compassionate and make me feel kind of warm in the heart, make me believe that actually humanity is good. And so if I wake up in the morning and I expose myself first thing to that kind of content, I approach my day much differently than if I would just look at the news and see what's happening in the world and what horrible things happen again. And so these are, I think, are really two important questions that people can ask themselves to change the effects that our technology have on us, how they use the phones or the technology that we are impacted by on a given day, and what content they consume.
I appreciate the comments that you made today, and I have to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share some of my research.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.